It's good to be back with you again. And I noticed today, I'm making an observation, we're becoming more and more traditional church in the sense that the back rows are filling up. Well, I always try to have a short story for you, and I have a reputation to uphold as telling lousy jokes, so I'm not going to disappoint you today. And today's story is about a time back before there were cars, before there were automobiles. And the preacher was on top of his horse, galloping at full speed because he was late for the Sunday service. And sadly, his horse stumbles and he falls off and he breaks his leg. And he's lying there in the dirt and he offers up a prayer to heaven. He says, "All of you saints in heaven, come and help me get back on that horse." And all of a sudden, in his good leg, he had a surge of power that was so strong that it jumped up on top of the horse, but it was actually too much, and he bounced off and fell off onto the other side. And so he offered yet another prayer. "All right, all you saints, just half of you this time." Today we're talking about, we're launching a series today around the 12 powers. And so one Sunday each month in this year of 2019, we will cover one of the 12 powers. And we're doing this in coordination with what's going on downstairs in the children's youth ministry because they are also studying the 12 powers coinciding with this. And then there's an extra special treat because at the end of our service, the children are going to return for 2-3 minutes and share a bit with us of what they did downstairs in Bible school. And a little bit about what they learned. And I'm sure they're going to very adequately cover everything that I failed to do so in my talk. And so we're going to launch this today by talking about the power of faith. But before I get into any specifics about the power of faith, I want to say a few words about power in general and share with you a very basic concept. That power that is unused eventually reverts to potential. And potential that is unused or unfulfilled eventually atrophies and fades away. So if you want a very quick example of what I'm talking about, just try not starting your car for several weeks. I don't care if the weather is pleasant or not. When you go to that car, it's very unlikely that it's going to have enough power to kick in. Another example of what I'm talking about is muscular power. We're not the strongest creatures on the planet, but all of us have some muscular power. We're able to walk for the most part, and we're able to lift a glass of water or a cup of coffee to our mouths. And when we do things like this, we are exercising power. But if we stop doing these things, eventually it will just return to potentiality. And again, if not used for a lengthy period of time, those muscles atrophy. And so if we don't walk for an extended period of time, we're going to have to learn to walk all over again. A couple of years ago, my wife Susan had an unfortunate accident. She fell on her shoulder and she shattered it and it required surgery, but the injury really limited all of her mobility. And so it had the effect that most of the muscles and even the uninjured parts of her arm had begun to atrophy. And she had to go through extensive therapy for months in order to try to restore what had been lost. And that's why patients that are bedridden for one reason or another for an extended period of time really have to learn to walk all over again. The flip side of all of this, of course, is that the more that we use our power, the more that we flex our muscles, then the stronger we become and the greater amount of endurance that we come to learn. And the reason that I'm sharing all of this is that as we go through the 12 powers, everything that I've shared applies to those powers as well as to what I have just been talking about. And we don't tend to give this very much thought, just like we really don't tend to give a whole lot of thought to our muscular systems. But it's really important to keep in mind. But I feel like I've really been kind of technical up to this point, so I want to switch gears here a little bit and ask you to participate, to engage in an exercise that I hope will be more fun-filled. And to get into this, I'm going to ask you just to sit back and to relax, close your eyes if you're comfortable, and go back to that time when you were a little child. Awaken that child, reawaken that child within you. Maybe when you were 6 or 7 or 8 years old. And then I want you to think that if you had the wherewithal to have any one superpower, what would you choose? Would you like to have superhuman strength like Superman? Maybe you would want to fly. Maybe you would like to have the power to become invisible absolutely any time that you wanted to do so. Maybe you would like to swing from skyscraper to skyscraper or from bridge to bridge like Spider-Man. Or to be able to run 1,000 miles per hour like the Flash. And I'm not asking you rhetorically, I'm asking you seriously, what power would you like to realize in your life? So I invite you to tell me. Anybody? Yes.
Transport myself from one place to another very quickly.
Ah, to teleport yourself from one place to another very quickly. That's a good one. Judy? Okay. So the power and effect of kind of wave a magic wand and change people's personalities. Okay. Or? That is a favorite of mine. That's the one I was going to share. I like that one a lot. Anybody else? Well, yeah, but you're cheating. We're not going spiritual yet. Anyone else? Rose? The power to wonder, okay?
I'd like to be able to sing.
You'd like to be able to sing. You have that power, dear. I didn't say you had to do these powers well. Yes?
The power to fly.
Yeah. I mean, if we really just spend some time in this and allow ourselves to be that child again, you know, we could come up with all sorts of things and really be enthusiastic about it. One of my favorites was the power to read minds, and my other one was the power to have X-ray vision. Whatever power that you might have come up with in this little exercise, were it to really and truly happen for you in your life, you can appreciate what a transformation would take place for you in terms of your everyday living. It would have an effect of taking you from commonplace to the rare. It would have the effect of taking your life, which might be regarded as routine and ordinary, and turning it into something absolutely extraordinary. And again, all of this that I'm saying applies to each and every one of the 12 powers. That those 12 powers that we're going to be talking about, if we can manage to grow them and to develop them and take them from potentials to reality, would have the effect of dramatically changing your lives. Not just in a spiritual sense, but in a way that would be influential in absolutely everything you do. So I don't want you to put away that child that I called upon you to resurrect a few minutes ago. I want you to continue to embrace that child within you and to enter into an attitude of enthusiasm and anticipation and excitement as we begin to explore our first power today, the power of faith. And so what exactly is faith? Is there such a thing as a leap of faith? Is there such a thing as blind faith? Back when I was a little boy in the Catholic school system, we were encouraged pretty regularly to pray that we would not lose our faith. And eventually I would come to recognize that that faith that I was praying for was very specifically Catholic faith, a view of looking at God and our way of life that was absolutely through the lens of Catholicism. And I'm not making any judgments or criticisms here about Catholicism or any other faith tradition for that matter, because the truth is, for me, that system of beliefs that I held at that time served me very, very well. But eventually I came to realize it wasn't enough. Eventually I came to a place where that system of beliefs for me in Catholicism was very much like looking at a picture instead of viewing a dynamic movie. And it was certainly far away from the movie of my own personal life in which I was forced to live an active role. It was something really separate and apart from all of that. And so I want to offer you the first definition of faith. And I go back a number of years to that classic movie, A Miracle on 34th Street. Faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. And I really like that. Common sense tells us that we should not believe in anything that we cannot see with our own eyes. Common sense tells us that if we can't experience it through our own senses, then it's something that's not real. And at a very early age, we are taught and we are trained that if we take our minds and allow ourselves to go beyond that physical, then we're just living in fantasy, in an unrealistic world. But think about that. If that really were the case, we wouldn't have things like modern technology. And a lot of people I know are down on technology. They think it's really not a good thing. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, loved technology. He loved innovation, and if he were alive today in the midst of cell phones and iPads and Fitbits and personal computers and got to speak to Siri and to Alexa, he would just be beside himself in glory. And I, too, am really a big fan of technology because technology allows us to explore the world of possibilities, of things that might be could be. Technology asks the really important questions of why not or how can I, and isn't limited to asking that simple question of why. In Unity, we have our five basic principles. But there's a big difference between believing in those principles and being passionate about them. Passion brings those principles to life. Passion calls us into action, very much like our fifth principle does call us to do. Passion is an expression of faith because it awakens those principles and it provides for us a vision. And with that vision comes a plan. There was a time in Unity when the movement was really in some very serious problems financially. And the way the story goes, at that time, somebody made the comment, "Let us pray that we don't run out of money." And Myrtle's response to this comment was, "Let us pray that we don't run out of faith." And she wasn't concerned about losing stock in the principles. Myrtle's concern was in losing the vision that looked beyond those financial difficulties. And so I want to share with you another definition of faith, a definition that I learned when I was studying to be a licensed Unity teacher and also in ministerial school. It's Unity's definition of faith. And that is that faith is the ability to perceive the kingdom of God and divine ideas despite evidence to the contrary, and then to use that to shape and mold substance. Let me say it again. Faith is the ability to perceive the kingdom of God and divine ideas despite any and all evidence to the contrary, and then to use that to shape and mold substance. Well, according to this definition, the nature of faith is really twofold. And the first part of that is that it's our ability to perceive, it's our ability to vision beyond that which is immediately before us. And so if we look to the gospel stories, there's a conversation that takes place between our way shower Jesus and Peter. And Jesus asks Peter, "Who are the people saying that I am?" And Peter responds, "Well, Lord, they're saying you're Elijah returned, or Moses." And then Jesus puts it to Peter and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, "Lord, you are the Christ." Peter had the vision to see beyond the physical presence of Jesus into that inner reality of the Christhood. And it's all about recognizing the kingdom and the divine presence of God that is absolutely in everything. Faith is the ability to behold. Faith is about that journey that takes us from that physical reality really into the world of metaphysics. Faith is that understanding that regardless of what is going on, regardless of what it may look like or seem like, it is, after all God. Jesus was able to see beyond his own centuries-old Jewish tradition. He was able to see beyond the law that had become binding and constricting and restrictive, and see the spirit of the law that was liberating. And he fulfilled that law by taking that vision and breathing life into it. And then I want to return to this last half of that Unity definition. And then to use this to mold and shape substance. Well, this is definitely an action part of the word. Just to see something is not enough. To see something should incite us to do something about it, to make it happen, to bring it about in the world. From the letter to the Hebrews, we get that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of that which is not yet seen. But then, having seen it, then having been able to visualize it, inherent to that is a call to set it in motion and to do something about it. There's a gospel story that can be found in Luke about a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And if you understand the culture of the times, this would have rendered her as an outcast. She would have been regarded as unclean, and she would have been ostracized. But she had this vision that Jesus was able to effect a cure. But she understood that it wasn't enough. And so she literally crawled and clawed through a crowd of people to get near to Jesus just to touch his cloak. She took action. And Jesus saw this, and he cured her of her ailment. Faith is thinking big, not small. Faith is seeing the broader, bigger picture. You know, sometimes we get hit with problems in life, and it has a tendency to tie us up, to lock us up, to paralyze us. We just want to pull the covers over our heads sometimes and stay in bed or hide and protect ourselves under a shell because things happen to us that are painful and that hurt and that are difficult. You know, I was thinking about that driving in today and thinking about during World War II when Great Britain was on the verge of collapse. Parliament was absolutely leaning toward let's negotiate with Hitler. But it was the faith that was in that country, the faith that was in Winston Churchill, that allowed them to begin to seek solutions to the problem and not stay locked in, focusing and dwelling on the problem. And I'm really familiar with this pattern. Back when I was in the business world and I was elevated to vice president of our little company, wasn't such a big deal, and things would not go well, I would immediately go to that dark place. If we lost a key employee or a really important customer of ours went bye-bye, I would just become immobilized. I thought the whole company was going to come crashing to the ground. And thank the Lord that at that time my boss was a bit of a visionary. And he reminded me and he called upon, okay, this is where we are right now. We need to think ahead. We need to think of alternatives. We need to think of solutions for what we are involved in. And this is really the essence of the nature of faith. Faith is the power to see beyond those problems and to focus on solutions. Faith is the power to see what a lot of people don't see. Faith is the power to see what a lot of people are afraid to see because there's an innate understanding that if you see it and you don't do something about it, you have issues. And so I want to twist that unity definition a little bit and say to you that ultimately, faith is the ability to perceive the kingdom of God and divine ideas within you. Despite any evidence to the contrary. And then for you to use that to take and mold substance in your own life and in the world around you. Our way shower, Jesus said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, move from here to there, that mountain will move. And that for you, absolutely nothing is impossible. So does faith involve a leap of sorts? Absolutely. Because everything I'm talking about here in developing this power is going to meet with resistance, and you're going to be ridiculed, and you're going to be laughed at. And yes, perhaps one of your greatest fears is that if you go for it and try to bring into reality what you envision, you might fall flat a few times. But like that silly story that I opened with, that's just a call for you to get back on your horse. And in that silly story, the preacher, lying on the ground, screamed out a prayer to the saints in heaven. You know, look around you. Right here, right now. You're surrounded by saints. You're surrounded by angels. One of the greatest things that I have come to of so value in this community is the readiness that we have for one another to step up and be there when somebody goes into a world of hurt. You don't have to launch upon this all by yourself. There are people here that are ready to take your hand and to encourage you and to love you. All you need to do is seek that help, go into prayer, enter into that state of mind that is truly aware of all that you have and all that we are. So in closing, I want to give you one final thought. Go back when you're alone and you're in prayer, and again, resurrect that child within you. And once again, ask yourself that question, if I could have but one power, what would it be? And then I would suggest to you, maybe you want to give faith a chance. It might be a really perfect fit.